We've moved points well made to its regular time. I was asked to give a short series or a long series by Father Steve and Father John on the Bible to give an overview so that when the fathers teach their classes on Tuesday and Wednesday evening and whenever, people will come to those classes already knowing the basics about the Bible, and they can go further, you know, rather than having to talk about the basics. Of course, many of you already know a lot about the Bible, and this will be review. I'll try to make it fresh and sobering at the same time. So I'm assuming that all of us here who made it to church, you know, are chose to be Orthodox Christians at some point in their life, whether you chose to believe your parents or your grandparents that Christianity was the way to go, or from personal study or reading. None of us probably had direct contact with an apostle, but maybe you did, or a missionary. Certainly not with the Lord. He lived and died and rose 2,000 years ago, as we know. But in any case, one way or the other, we made it here. And I'm hoping that everyone here is here conscientiously because you chose to be an Orthodox Christian. So I don't have to, like, you know, convert you to Christianity at this point. So the sources, we say, of our faith are just that. First of all, it's the revelation that Christ made about God, about himself, that he, his apostles believed it, they believed it, and then they passed it on to other people who believed them. So the actual source of our faith and everything that we know is the Lord, which is recorded in the Bible. So the Bible itself, strictly speaking, is not revelation. It's a record of revelation. Revelation is what the Lord said. And the Lord was with them those 3.5 years that he was ministering. Then he died, and he rose. And we're told that for another 40 days after his resurrection, he spent them giving them even more, you know, higher lessons. It says he taught them about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is another word for the grace. We can think about it as talking about the sacraments, talking about how the grace of God works, you know, within the people that they would be ministering to, and how that sanctification and deification and all those, the spiritual life and all those things would take place. So he was teaching them those things. Those aren't spelled out in the four Gospels. Those come out mostly in the epistles of St. Paul and St. Peter when they start talking about the application of Christian teaching in your life and how to grow spiritually. And then further, in the writings and the teachings of those people who learned from the apostles and made it, you know, real in their lives, and then they left records of their experiences and whatever. We have, you know, 2,000 years of guides and helps and whatever. Some of those things made it into what we call the New Testament, the Bible. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other writings that are certainly, you know, authentic and valid, but you know, the Bible, the New Testament, is the writings written by those people who had direct contact with the Lord in those first years. Now, what about the Old Testament? So the Lord and the apostles kind of gave, so that's what we believe. We were Christians. We believed, you know, we believed in what the Lord said and what our parents told us about and whatever. So why would we accept, like, the other, like, with the Jews, you know, the books that the Jews, well, the Lord himself kind of gave credence and validation to the Old Testament, where he said, I have come not to change, you know, I have not come to break the laws, I've come to fulfill the laws of the Old Testament. Whatever was written in the Old Testament, he pretty much presented himself as the fulfillment and the completion and the true understanding, you know, of that, almost like a filter, or if you want to call it, because there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament that if you just kind of read it out of context or without a filter, you could say, well, this is really questionable. And just, you know, we're going to be talking about reading and the importance of reading and studying the Bible. Not to deter you, but, you know, strictly speaking, the Bible is like rated NC-17. I mean, if you read it, you know, there's certain parts of it that are about adults, and adults would understand it. violence and the such. So, so we do accept the Old Testament, and we'll be talking about in the coming Sundays about the Old Testament and then about the New Testament, and we might even go book by book just to kind of give you, you know, so that as you, if you choose to read the Bible, you know, you can concentrate on certain books. Maybe you'll scan other books because, I mean, it's kind of tedious, you know. Some of it's pretty tedious. I remember when I was a teenager and I turned 14 and a priest friend of our family, actually my parents gave me a Bible at 14. And I said, I want to read it from beginning to end. At least, you know, and you should maybe once in your life, you know, read it beginning to end. You can do it in a year. You can find these Bible in a year books where, you know, they've divided it for each day of the year. You read a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and in one year you've read the whole thing. And this priest friend said, yes, that's not a bad idea, but start with the New Testament. Read the New Testament first. And it's kind of because of what I just said, that the New Testament, first of all, that's our literature, and it kind of gives the filter, you know, for the Old Testament. Although just reading it doesn't provide the filter. I mean, it's the teaching of the church and understanding and reading commentaries. Now, as far as like teaching ourselves and teaching our children about the Bible, I will tell you, when I was a little kid, we used to go to the dentist once or twice a year for cleaning back then. And they had all kinds of magazines, obviously, but all kinds of books too. And I remember one book that we would always just pick up and open. It was Bible stories. It was Bible stories with the pictures for kids. You know, and I have to say that's probably where, you know, ingrained in me were things like Noah and the flood and, you know, the Tower of Babel and, you know, the splitting of the Red Sea. I mean, I can still visualize that book, you know, and it wasn't the exact words of the Bible, obviously. It was telling it for kids, but I mean, it had these pictures. One way or another, we should know the stories that are told, the main stories in the book, because they actually impact how we understand our faith. And especially when we're in our church and we're doing worship stuff, there's always references to the Old Testament. And even society itself expects us, and our civilization expects us, to kind of know those things, whether you believe them or not. We do. But I mean, when, you know, in the newspaper, you know, someone's making a commentary and they make some kind of reference to the Old Testament, if you don't have any knowledge of the Old Testament, you're not going to understand what he's saying. You know, people are going to say it's a, you know, it's like another Noah event, or you know, like the flood or something like that. Or if you're reading literature, you know, and the author's always making reference to the Bible. Society expects us to have a knowledge, like we should know our Constitution, like we should know, you know, the rules of whatever. Society expects us to know the Bible, and our church certainly expects us to be familiar with the Bible. So, that being said, we will start today by saying, just reaffirming, that we do accept the Bible. 49 books of the Old Testament. I forget the exact number of the New Testament. And rather than calling the Bible a book, we should probably think of it more like a library. A library of a bunch of books, because we say the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. So it's a bunch of books that for convenience have been put into one with very thin pages and very small print. But really, it's this whole shelf in your, you know, that one room. And so moving forward in the coming weeks, that's what we'll be focusing on at this time. So at this time, why don't we stand and pray?